introduction to our scripture I'll offer before the prayer for illumination. So I didn't forget that. We'll get to it. Our scripture lesson begins in the middle of the sixth chapter of John's Gospel. This long chapter, 71 verses strong, begins with John's telling of the miracle story we call the feeding of the 5,000, which we considered at last Wednesday's Lenten supper service. In John's version of this miracle, Jesus distributes one boy's lunch of 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Some quip that perhaps the boy was thrilled to give his lunch away, because what boy wants 2 fish for lunch anyway? But all jokes aside, this single lunch not only filled 5,000 hungry people, as the story goes, but they had as much as they wanted, and still there was more, 12 baskets of leftovers. Yes, this week we are entering into the mystical world of John's Gospel, where there is always more, more wine, more water, more bread, and more meaning than our minds can possibly contain. Today's story picks up on the morning after the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus is talking to the people who had been there and eaten their fill, and then went to Capernaum, looking for him, clamoring for more from this rabbi named Jesus. When they find him, Jesus is ready to teach them more. He's ready to build on their actual experience of yesterday's lunch to provide the bridge between what they already knew of God and what more they were about to learn. Well, some of them. You will see, even Jesus had skeptics in the crowd. And notice once again, this seems to happen a lot in John, that while Jesus is talking in metaphors, some of his hearers are taking his words literally and missing the point entirely. As we prepare now to hear God's word and what more God has to teach us today, let us pray together our prayer for illumination, which is in your bulletin. Let us pray. We are hungry today, O Lord, for your nourishing presence. Shine your light deep into our hearts and souls and minds. Ready us to receive the fresh word you have for us, your daily bread of heaven. Amen. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves, for no one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. As it is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me.' Not that anyone who has seen the Father except the one who is from God, he has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died, but this is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be attuned to thy spirit, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So what does it take Ah, did I forget something? I was on a roll there. Go for it.
Okay.
Lift high that cross. Amen. So, what does it take to change our minds? What does it take to see something we think we already know and understand from a new perspective? Back when I was a young adult, I had an experience one morning that made me see myself, my culture, and an activity I enjoy, running, in a whole different light. Actually, the pace would be more described more accurately as jogging. But in any case, this experience was a big wake-up call that I will never forget. This was the morning that a couple of new friends and I decided to go jogging soon after we had landed halfway around the world from home. We were in the country of Liberia in West Africa, in a small upcountry village of Fanja, which was about 80 miles northwest of Monrovia, the capital. I was in a group of 12 Americans drawn from across the country who were there to participate in a cross-cultural exchange program through Operation Crossroads Africa. This was about our second or third morning in Fanja, a village of just 30 families, where women and children went to the river to collect water, where they farmed rice and cassava to feed themselves and supplemented this diet with occasional pieces of meat from bush animals that they would catch in their traps. All of their cooking was done over small open fires on the ground. And we would be there living side by side with them all summer during that time, building together with them a structure that would house a small medical clinic. But mostly we were there to learn from each other. Among my group, there were three of us who decided we wanted to stay in shape during our 10 weeks there, and we'd do this by jogging in the mornings. Great idea, right? So on the first morning of our new fitness plan, we got up just after sunrise, did a few stretches, and set off jogging down the one rutted gravel road that led through the village and into the village of Mambo, which was about 4 miles out. Well, way before Mambo, we turned around and headed back. You know, the humidity made the running oppressively hot and sticky already at that early morning hour. But even though our first effort was pretty short, we were still rather proud of ourselves for getting out and jogging so far from home. But just as we got back to the edge of the village, we started to get quizzical looks from the women working in the fields and from the other women who were carrying water on their heads with little girls with little jugs on their heads coming back up from the river. There was really only one man who spoke English in this whole village, but we didn't need English. The looks on their faces spoke volumes. All of a sudden, it started to dawn on us how ridiculous jogging, just to stay in shape, must have looked from their point of view. Growing food was hard, hard work. The reason for growing food was for the energy it would provide for work and to survive. So here, every calorie counted, but in the opposite way that we usually think. Calories were a precious commodity that sustained the fragile existence made possible only by back-breaking work and reasonable weather. What were we thinking, burning off those calories by jogging nowhere we really needed to go? We weren't bringing an urgent message to someone in Mambo. We weren't carrying water or plowing fields or hunting small bush animals. What were we doing, those crazy Americans? Yes, you guessed it. That was the first and the last time that we went jogging in the village of Fanja. But I learned something that day, something about how very small and limited our point of view actually is. I learned something just about how narrow this worldview of ours is, no matter how far we've read, or no matter how far we've traveled, or how much we've read, or how open-minded we think we are. In fact, the more we know, and the more we invest ourselves in a particular system or institution, the more difficult it becomes to revise or rethink or expand our point of view. In today's lessons, there were some who were ready to make the leap from the story of Moses and the manna in the wilderness to Jesus being the bread of life standing before them. Just a second. I think I missed something. Yes. Some of them were ready to build that bridge right away. They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." That's in verse 6:34. Some were ready to connect, ready to be filled by the bread of heaven in whatever way their heart entered into that metaphor. But there were others in the same crowd at the same time who complained and murmured to themselves, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? You know, his dad is that carpenter down in Nazareth. He sold me a table a few months ago. How can Joseph, the carpenter's son, say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Even though they heard Jesus' words, even though they may have eaten their fill of those hunks of bread and tossed those crusts into the 12 baskets, those hunks of bread were still just bread. And that Jesus was still just that man, that son of Joseph. It had not become anything more. This was just bread. This was the son of Joseph. They were not willing to open themselves beyond the circle of their limited point of view. They would not allow that experience that they'd had to expand or revise their understanding of God or of themselves or of Jesus in any way, at least not at that point. I'm sure that all of us here today, whether we realize it or not, we are hungry deep down for the very bread of life. We are hungry to connect, to reconnect with Jesus, the bread of heaven. But we also find that hard to do. We have questions. We harbor doubts, maybe about whom Jesus really is or was. Or maybe without realizing it, we keep Jesus within the parameters of what we learned as a child about Jesus, or hold on to just one image of him and fend off any others that might alter it or change it. Or maybe we have doubts about ourselves. We may think we're just not worthy. Listen to Jesus' words. He said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry." There's our way in. Whoever comes to me. That invitation is wide open and unconditional. It's not a worthiness contest. Picture Jesus at the Last Supper, sharing his body and blood, not with just the ones at the table that deserve this holy meal, but with everyone at the table who chose to participate. Everyone, including Judas, who would that very night betray Jesus, and including Peter, who would deny even knowing Jesus not once but three times before the cock would crow again. So yes, Jesus is inviting all of us, ready or not, to his table. All that Jesus asks of us is to choose to really come and meet him there. To really come to this table and allow ourselves to be fed by the bread of life. And here's the potential waste, the utter sinful waste of calories at this table. It's not about running or fitness instead of plowing a field or fetching water as it was in Fanja. No, the utter sinful waste is when we refuse or resist or just go on autopilot, even as we take communion, so that even if we're here, we don't really come to Jesus. We don't really partake in the bread of life. So here's the amazing thing in this ritual, in this sacrament of Holy Communion, Last Supper, or Eucharist, whichever name we call it. The amazing thing is that we are given the chance to connect with Jesus at a cellular level. Jesus, the bread of life. And when we do, in that moment, we are experiencing eternal life right here on earth. Yes, we're just eating a very small piece of bread, literally nothing we'd call a feast, but it is so much more. And through that bread, Jesus gives us a way to have new eyes, a fresh, larger perspective, another point of view on whatever we may be facing in our lives when we came into the sanctuary today, in our family life, as a church, as a nation, as a world. Jesus' view, not just ours. So this table is not about us or our worthiness to receive it. It's about God. It's about Christ dying for us to come to this table to take and eat. Jesus dying for us to truly sink our hearts into this miracle of abundance where there is more than enough to heal our spirits, to redirect us, and then to deploy us back into the world of hurt and pain. Jesus feeds us at this table so that we might be the hands and feet of Jesus here and now. And boy, do we need Jesus' hands and feet on the ground, Jesus' eyes of compassion, to help us find answers, to dig into the questions haunting us. How will we stop school shootings, church shootings, movie theater and nightclub shootings? What is really driving the opioid crisis that has infiltrated every class and culture in our nation? And what can we do to respond to the tidal wave of refugees fleeing their countries for their lives? And how can we wake up our nation to the clear and present threat of climate change? And finally, how can we reverse the partisan polarization threatening our government's well-being? Let this meal we are about to share open up our tiny little worlds so that we can more fully participate in God's worldview of abundance, generosity, and forgiveness. Let this meal we are about to share extend the aperture of our vision closer, a little bit closer, to Jesus' view. We don't have to go to West Africa to be given a new perspective because it's right here waiting. Are you hungry for a fresh perspective this morning? Open your heart and your spirit to receive this gift of Jesus from Jesus, who is the bread of life. Amen.